Are we going now, or do you
Yeah, in a
send
second.
this?
So,
Okay, cool. Just
let me. I have a co-host. His name is Will. He's in Denver. I'm in Boise.
okay.
Usually, the way it goes down is we count backwards, we start a clock, we read a
Okay.
short introduction, then we go for 42 minutes, and inevitably arrive at the meaning of life, the universe,
Right.
everything. Yeah.
No pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but yeah, this is low pressure today.
Right.
I mean,
Yeah.
because it's like a it's a check-in with sync, to see what's going on in the world, and then also to talk about your practice.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, I think both Will and I have known that you're a pretty interesting guy, but it's funny whenever we schedule a show, we have no idea how interesting until
Right. Yeah.
it's like, oh wow, yeah, this guy's done all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah, no, I've been listening to the show too. I mean, I've been listening to it for quite a while, so I'm familiar with the format and how it goes, but yeah, I just wasn't sure if you like how it started, if it was just,
It's weird because
I pick
Always
up the phone and
Record
we're
does
on or what.
that. Always Record will do that to you. Always, as soon as you answer your call, there
You're
it's
on?
game. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
gone. You're off
Yeah.
running.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Douglas, would you like for me to count? Or wait, you're counting down. Is that true? I've kind Yeah, let
of read
me
through.
just get everything lined up here. Okay, so that's ready.
And is this okay? Just let me clarify. Is this the second entry for me? Is this are these Darcy's words? Do you
Yeah.
get okay, because it's not in quotation or anything. I just wanted to be clear. I got my words? What?
He's reading from your bio
Oh, okay.
in the introduction.
Okay.
So, all right, so Douglas. Okay, so if everyone's ready and everyone sounds pretty good, which is always a plus.
Yeah, wait, let me make sure I'm recording here.
And then, yeah, I'm
Check, check,
recording.
check, check. Okay, double up.
Double up.
Yeah, always two people recording.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, five, four, three, two, one. Well, it was fun meeting you, Darcy. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the when do you guys put them out? Like,
As soon as we can.
yeah. Okay, I just didn't yeah, you, there's like it's
So
kind of a
it's hopefully by this evening.
Oh, okay, that quickly. Okay.
Hopefully. I
Yeah.
mean, last week my turnaround wasn't very good, and then also our web guy who puts everything up is in France, and he's 6 hours ahead of us, and sometimes if I'm too late, then he's already gone to bed.
Okay. Yeah. No, I just didn't know if it was something like, a month from now or are you
No,
going to do
no.
editing and stuff like
So
that?
we
Yeah.
tried to
It's good.
have, I mean, when it started, the spirit of the show was live. Like,
Yeah.
that's what we were,
Oh, that's right, too. Yeah. I remember listening to those.
And
Yeah, but
thank
that's
you.
difficult. That's hard, but
It we end up with a
there's
better product if we massage it a little bit.
right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, just it's not it still has that the spirit of liveness. It's just
Yeah.
we take out as much awkwardness as we can.
Right. Good.
Hey, Darcy, you ever want to do a comic book again? I mean, does that ever cross your mind?
Yeah, for sure. It does. I mean, one of the things I'm working on right now is I don't are you guys familiar with the Gnostic? It's called the Hymn of the Pearl. It's kind of this short myth about this prince that comes down from heaven and has to sort of deal with the earthly realm and then to get this pearl and return it back to, and I want to turn that reinterpret that myth in sort of a modern way that can be, looked at by readers of our generation
Huh.
and make sense. But I want to do it in a comic book way, but kind of in the style of like illuminated manuscripts. That's kind of
Oh,
so,
cool. Yeah.
yeah. So that's my another thing I'm
That's a
working
big
on right now.
project.
Yeah, and I'm not used to doing big projects. I kind of do one-offs, like whatever inspires me for the moment. And now I'm like, no, I think I want to commit to the larger thing. And if it takes me a year to do it, I think I'll be reading more, blogging more, and creating art with more focus rather than. So yeah, but the comics, yeah, I definitely have. I still have a love for that way of.
Storytelling.
Yeah, storytelling for sure. And I think it's something that people, are still receptive to, whereas like a book and stuff, it's not. I think I'm all about like reaching the common person rather than just always the sort of the academic or the people that are more interested in reading large books, right? It's like I don't mind reading the large books, but then I want to, through my art, make it accessible what I learned from it to the masses kind of thing, right? And comics is definitely something that I still think about a lot. That so yeah, why would you
No, I was just
What you got, Will?
Yeah.
Hey, here's a quick
I
question.
got some shit,
How
but
often do you interact with Jake and Jim? Recently, they've done something, and I haven't been in touch with them for a while. They've renamed ayahuasca. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I know a little bit about it, and this is something that I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest. I think it serves to sort of
Well,
obscure the
that's
what.
my thought, but I also wonder if they aren't trying to head off some kind of trend.
Yeah. No, and I see that too. Studying these like early Christian before the church formed and stuff, I kind of see synchromysticism as like an early the early onset of like Gnosticism. So all these different sects are coming up and they're reinterpreting the myth, and that I see Jim and Jake doing those sorts of things, and I think it's sort of a natural progression. But absolutely, I think they're trying to attract a sort of formulate their own system and their own look on it, but again, when I'm in ceremony with them, it's all about just me and the plant and the ceremony. They never push. I don't know how they're interpreting their experience, but that's up to them. I don't feel like I'm being there and they're singing about,
You don't feel like you have allegiance to their quote cult, as it were. I mean, in quotes, not with no judgment on that word. It's just, yeah.
So I mean, but the moment that they, like, I felt like I
Oh.
had to, wear the guard, the words they say, then I would be like, okay, I'm not, I would find my ayahuasca ceremony elsewhere. But they've never felt like, I've never felt the pressure. I like those guys a lot, they've inspired me a lot, and they've,
Yeah,
but
I'm
I
in that
haven't seen
same
them for a
camp for
while either.
sure.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've actually met with them, probably like 6 or 8 months now. But I mean, our house is for sale out here, and we're moving to Winnipeg once it sells. So
So you're
it'll
going
be,
closer into town then?
yeah, good, definitely, because there's a lot more of an art community there and everything too, because that's lacking here.
Oh,
And
we never got the opportunity to talk about Ashba. Do you mind kind of letting me in on what that's all about?
well, that's kind of about, well, I guess it's about almost 15 years ago now. DJ Ashba was sort of, he was in a band called Beautiful Creatures, and my roommate really liked them, and I did too, and he plays amazing guitar. And so I sent him an email and said, hey, he left that band. He just sort of recorded on their album and left. And I said, if you ever do something else, I would, like to do some artwork for you. So he asked me to throw something together, and I did, and he loved it, and he phoned me that day, and we've been working together ever since. And then he became the guitarist for Guns N' Roses, and now he's on tour with 6 AM with Nikki Sixx and stuff. And so I saw that transition too, and I also saw, he was just a sort of a small potatoes guy working the clubs trying to get his stuff going, and now he's got this big media company and stuff, and I see how that kind of corrupted him too, right? But it's an awesome experience. But Yeah, I got trampled on it, like creatively, after the machine started rolling, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and
So.
that's where, so I'm part of something that, so in Philip K. Dick, if you fight the Empire, you end up, you know, in Valis, you, if you, the thing that fights the Empire is transformed into the Empire.
Becomes the Empire.
And I just
Right.
witnessed this little co-op, you know, go through this process of basically becoming the Empire.
Right.
And it's just heartbreaking because all of a sudden, instead of love being the focus, it's capitalism, it's dollar, it's growth.
Right.
And, you know, all those values, they're still there, but they become secondary, and then they just start shedding like leaves or scales or something.
Right. Yeah, it's just, it's sad, but that sort of gives me that's where I get my take on like how I'm not sure that sort of redemption is completely
Possible.
possible, because I think that that's what we're here to learn is that the systems are obviously are
I don't
ultimately
know. I'm
gonna
still
I
a
don't
fighter.
yeah I am too I really am, but
It's like
I don't want to
Jesus is
seem
not
so
going to
pessimistic.
compromise. I'm a
Yeah,
political activist, and there's no room for empire. But then it was Paul who, like, instead of, it's like the opposite. Instead of, you know, they had to accommodate, like they had to put Jesus into the empire. He wouldn't
Right.
accommodate them. Later,
Yeah.
they had to retrofit Jesus to make sense in a Roman Empire milieu.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I got here's like a good example of how like hope still shines through what I do even when the empire sort of comes in, which is I remember I did this like I don't know if you guys seen this Ouroboros that I drew. It's anyways, I have
That's the
a
one
version
that's
of
on
it.
the Guns N' Roses like piano or whatever.
Yeah, it's on the piano. And so that image, it was right after Jim and I, we had a good talk, and it was probably after ayahuasca ceremony, whatever. I was back at home. I was living in a different town at that time, but I was just driving, and this image came to my mind. I didn't really know Jim very well. I just met him and did the first ayahuasca ceremony and this and that, but we had a good talk, and I said, I got to create this, like, draw an Ouroboros for him. I didn't even know really anything about the Ouroboros at that time. And I drew this and I gave it to him. I gave him the original drawing. And then I took the ink of that and I had it digitally colored. And I just put it on t-shirts and stuff for myself, right? And when Guns N' Roses came through, they needed artwork immediately. They came through Winnipeg and I was there at the time. So it was my opportunity to actually meet DJ Ashba face to face for the first time. So I got to go backstage and meet Axl Rose and stuff, nervous, 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 and then suddenly the production the one of the stage designers came in and said, "We're screwed." They set up their first the first concert for their world tour was in Winnipeg, and so they put up the stage and realized that the piano was facing the crowd blank. And so they needed artwork, and DJ goes, "Well, I have an artist." And they said, "Yeah, we know, but we need it like tonight." And he's like, "Well, here he is. He lives in Winnipeg." And they're like, "No way. So do this tonight." And I didn't sleep. I got it done. And at the end, they didn't totally like the image. They needed something in the center of the piano. And so DJ said, "What about that Ouroboros? It was my Skype icon at the time." He goes, "Could we use that?" And so they did. And it ended up being the only thing. Of all the stuff I did for Guns N' Roses, like I said, I kind of got trampled on financially and everything from that experience. But the contracts exclude the Ouroboros because I had already done it and they just grabbed it from me and put it on rather than everything else I created on the spot and tour. And I was like on the road with them and creating as I went. I did the other stuff for them as well. And but that kind of, so I don't know, I kind of saw that the Ouroboros, the message of that renew, I just. It was the exception to the rule, and it toured throughout the world for 3 years on that piano. And I was like, "That's cool. Yeah, the Empire ran me over, but I put that thing in there that came from a pure place that
Oh,
they were."
it's the
No,
golden
that's
fish. Yeah.
yeah.
So
Yeah.
you're reaching the
Right.
you
That was the
slipped in the
thing
message of truth. Yeah.
that was probably the programming that flipped some dude on.
Yes, yeah. And I was really like, I was like, cool, like it's touring with this empire, but there's this thing that people can look at that could draw, and I, you
Nice,
know,
you subverted the empire.
yeah, I just kind of got my message in there, you know. And it was so yeah, I so even in the face of that stuff, I like to, you know, think that there's hope and I could plant a seed in it on the way through, you know, but I'm not entirely sure how much
that
helps in the end. But yeah.
I don't know. That's cool.
That is cool. Hey, yes. We've been recording. Can we use this last bit in our member section?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah, and then maybe may I use the Ouroboros? So I want to, I think, as the image in the artwork. I mean, so like.
What we didn't tell you, if you've been talking to the Empire the entire time.
Well, so like, part of what I wanted to convey in the episode image is you, like this human connection, so that it's not just disembodied artwork.
Right.
So, there's that picture in the Winnipeg Free Press of you at your desk. I was probably going to use that, you at work.
Yeah.
And it also features the iconic, the synchromistic community knows your work because Jim, I mean, it's in the sync book.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's the tortoise. Everyone knows the tortoise. Everyone knows the Winnie the Pooh one, and everyone knows the Blanca.
Tigger. And Osa Blanca. But I got more stuff. I got questions. Joe Rogan, tell me about this stuff.
Oh, the Joe Rogan. Yeah, that was he's actually the guy that got me started on exploring consciousness at all. And it was like really early on, way before he was on Jim Brewer had a radio show on Sirius, and he was a guest on there. And I was like, what is he talking about? These like flotation tanks and like, you know, just that sort of other. I mean, I didn't even have my first drink of alcohol till I was 25. So for me to like hear this stuff,
what?
Like, let's go in this. And so anyways, yeah, he started me off. So it was really awesome to, he saw what I did for that end of the world tour show that they did in LA, but I didn't, I haven't had any actual
contact.
Yeah, contact with him. I mean, it didn't become the official poster for that show or nothing, but it connected me with his community of people, and I still talk to like my followers. There's a good portion of them that come from Joe Rogan's fan base, and I love that because I like how he kind of represents that balance too. I remember him talking about he's like sees himself as the bridge between the meatheads and the potheads, and I like that. You know, it's like,
yeah, that works.
Yeah.
So tell me about your love with tarot cards, though.
I in fact, just before I got on here, I was considering doing a spread because I like the Tarot de Marseille. I connect with the imagery and the simplicity of that. And I think it helps in the same way meditation does. I think it helps for me to do a spread and sort of get into the, how those sort of archetypal images and stuff, what they're saying to me. Draws out, it's like a mandala or whatever. It lets me know what's going on inside myself before I start drawing.
Did you ever try to create your own tarot?
Yeah, I actually, it's on my list of things to do. I definitely want I've been thinking about that for quite a while, especially now that it's only been a couple years since I started doing woodcuts and printmaking. So it's even more, like it sort of amplified I want to do that because I can carve them into wood, sort of how the old Tarot de Marseille was done, and carve them out in my way. But I feel like I need to kind of bone up on a lot of the, I want to put a lot, not just make them random images, right? Have them connecting. I want to be able to put my intentions in there with the proper symbolism and relations with each card and stuff. So I'm not sure it'll ever happen in the next few years, but definitely something I have a slot in my binder to keep writing. As things come, it's developing. But what do you got? How do you feel about the tarot?
I have an interesting relationship with it. We're going to actually do a show.
Yeah, we have this big holistic tarot book. It's like the Bible of tarot. I mean, divination is something that I understand.
But this, the book that we're doing, she's not, it's more of a psychological tool. So that's like personal growth instead of divination.
Right.
Yeah. That's how I look. That's how I approach it for sure. It's more of a,
like a reflection of where you're at now, and it gives you key insights to understand you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because it's just like, you know, a Bible verse or something. It's going to mean something to you today, and it might mean something different to you in 10 years. Same with the tarot spread. It's just a reflective, it's a reflection of, you know, where I am at that moment. I don't, so yeah, I kind of, it's a mirror into my own psyche, I guess, what's going on.
I hate to bring up your color blindness, but that particular deck is very,
I know, yeah. Yeah.
It's like overly vibrant with primaries.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why I'm attracted to it too, because it's kind of, the primaries are easy for me when I start to, even the Rider-Waite deck, my wife's into that one, and I, it's too many shades for my, I get confused, so I don't.
It's funny, I like Rider-Waite, and our author calls it the Rider-Waite Smith. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I think that's really important, because Ryder was the publisher, Waite was the intellect behind it, and Smith was the actual. So this woman is the one who illustrated it.
Oh, okay.
Pamela Colson Smith, I think. But I mean, she's the one who executed the deck for all intents and purposes. But she's the one that's not credited. It might be kind of intellectual. Is if I have a problem with it, that I don't ever feel like intuitive. I like the Major Arcana a lot more than the Court cards, but
yeah,
there's a deck that I got a couple years ago called the I can't think of what it's called. It's Celtic based. But it's really pagan, but it's super intuitive. And so, like, if you don't have any relationship to the cards at all, it'll, no matter what you draw, it speaks to you on some level.
Yeah.
Because it's animals and it's nature.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, for a while, I was into, right after I did my first ayahuasca ceremony, I also met a guy that I sort of walked up there with. He was a pipe carrier. And so I did sweat lodges and different native ceremonies for a while. And I love their connection with, especially living out where I live now, I still, a lot of those teachings resonate with me, because there's so many, like, trees and wildlife around where I am in the middle of nowhere, that it's, I love that sort of, those symbols to reflect what's going on inside too. It's
okay. So yeah. I remembered, it's called the Wildwood Tarot.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'll look into that.
Yeah. I really like it, but I think I'm transitioning into, like, so this book is used, the book that we're reading right now is speaking in terms of the Rider-Waite Smith deck. And so I definitely have those cards on my desk, and
yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Let's talk about coca leaves.
Oh yeah. Oh man, that again. You know, I was a newbie at any sort of mind altering anything. I didn't do anything for the longest time, and then I jumped right in all at the same time. And when I did my first ayahuasca ceremony, I was really floored. Like, what the hell just happened to me? Not what I expected at all. Like, and so I sat there in like total silence and just staring off into the mountains, like after, and this guy came up to me and gave me some coca leaves. I had no idea. He just said, put this in between your teeth and under your tongue, whatever, don't eat it. And I was like, okay, just hold it in your mouth. And then it just, like, this buzz went through me where it was like, just really chilled me out. It was like almost like conscious meditation. Everything, like, I was still absolutely aware, nothing altered, but I was able to just chill out. And I think that's one of the things I miss the most, is like, I wish I had access to just coca leaves, you know? But I mean, yeah. You see them like just in a tea shop, like in South America. Literally, you go into a coffee shop and get coca tea. They just stuff them all in there and pour hot water on them, drink it. It's like, it's so, you know. But we have this sort of
taboo.
Taboo because it's related to cocaine and it's a totally different thing, you know, like effect. So no, I love that. Have you ever?
And that was in Peru. That was.
It was in Manitoba, but the guy who gave it to me was from Peru. Maestro Juan Flores came up and did that ceremony, and he brought a couple helpers from Ayantiaku, and he.
And
it was one of the helpers that gave me the coca leaves.
So then, did you ever make it to Peru?
No, I haven't been there yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's something that like I have a horrible. My wife and I were talking about this. Just I have a horrible relationship with money. Like I undermine my own artwork so bad. I've never made money off of it. So trying to like get my art to get me to Peru is a challenge.
Sure.
Yeah. So. And yeah. I'm not. I don't really compromise at all. I'm stubborn. I should just get a day job to support, you know, myself. But I know it has to all be through my art.
You know, I hear people that say that you're doing it the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like to say
the struggling artist is the life to have.
Well, not the romantic aspect. It's just that if
creating art is the actual.
If it's making your livelihood, you know, that it definitely, like Francis Bean says, you're progressing.
Right. Yeah. You know, when I have had, like a day job, I like to do janitorial work. I love it because I'm left alone completely. I listen to my podcast lectures, whatever.
Yeah.
Stuff like this and it doesn't feel like it interrupts my creative flow at all. I don't come home and bring my day with me or my work stress. It's like, it's almost like a break for me to just go out and learn. And
yeah. If there was a nice balance I could find, I totally hear you. So like I deliver Chinese food and it used to be like multiple nights a week, but now it's just down to one night. And I enjoy it so much because that's what it is. It's me. It's like a meditation. I'm listening to the things that I want to listen to, and then I'm in parts of the city that I don't get to. I mean, it's just right. I go places. And so here I am. I'm in the world, and I get out of my car. I have this nice transaction that people are happy to see me. They give me money, and then, you know, I step off, and I breathe in the trees, and, you know, it's like I'm in the world.
Yeah.
And you know, I come home. I'm usually in a good mood. It's just if, like, that is your livelihood – and you have, you know, you're milking it for every cent, then of course I would have a much different relationship to it. But because I'm just, it's almost like this treat.
Right. Yeah.
I get to step away from my life for this moment to do this thing, and I don't have any expectations from it. I just.
I delivered pizza for a while too. And the same thing, I can relate to that completely. It was a nice job too, because most of the time is spent in the car, and then you just have that. You know, brief moment of actually doing the delivery or picking up another one.
Right.
And it doesn't interfere with my, what's going on in my own head. Yeah.
All right. Back to art.
You are a slave driver, Morgan.
I'm digging this. So there's this one piece that you did with the kind of monkey looking guy and the woman who's got a little pea brain.
Oh yeah.
It's blue. What's up with that? Yeah. What is that?
That was, that came to me in a dream. It was when I was living with, I've had like 40 different roommates, and I had this one roommate that I lived with for the longest time. And I just had a dream of him and this girl that was a friend of ours that he absolutely despised. But I had this weird dream of them, her going down on him, and I just drew that. And it was, yeah, so it has a little bit of, but yeah, it definitely disturbed both of my friends that were involved in the piece, but I see it as I get, that was something that my first exhibit when I sort of did didn't do a theme show. It's just a collection of all my work. I have the craziest guest book, cause I live in like, you know, sort of prairies and very conservative. And I have such a split guest book signing in my art exhibits about hatred and love, right? It's like people absolutely, and that one was one that attracted a lot of like, you're misogynistic, you hate women, you know, look at her small. Yeah, and I was like, but
the language really, of your work is so strange with all the it's almost like I'm having to use words to point at it, but you know, this Cronenberg fleshy umbilical planty, you know, viney, what is all this stuff that
you know how I explain that? If you, you know those, like, what are they called? The Rube Goldberg contraptions? That's how I feel like all my vines and the flow of things and the, whatever it's drapery or if it's hair or if it's the vines or cords coming out of people. It's, I always think it's like the story kind of flows from through those conduits, like a Rube Goldberg machine. That's kind of how I approach that or whatever. But
cool. Well, I'm gonna to change this baby's diaper here.
All right, I think that's it, Darcy. Yeah, no, it's been a awesome pleasure guys. Meeting you, man. It's been wonderful meeting you.
This is awesome too. Same, because you know I sort of just lurk and check out everything that you guys are up to too, and it's nice to kind of, you know, make contact and break through that, you know. Because I'm sort of on. Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. It's awesome.
You bet. We'll be in touch.
Okay.
We like what you're doing. Yep. You take care. Yep.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.